His Girl Friday. It's a 1940s screwball comedy starring Cary Grant as a wily newspaper editor named Walter Burns and a very brisk Rosalind Russell as his ex-wife, an ace reporter named Hildy Johnson. The film's set in Chicago in the bad old days, and it opens with Hildy telling Walter that she's tossing in the newspaper game. She's decided to marry a solid citizen named Bruce Baldwin, and she's going to live with him and his mum in upstate New York. In fact, the three of them are heading for Chicago on the train that night. And suddenly, Walter sees Hildy as the wife and the reporter he can't live without. And he embarks on a madcap campaign to win her back before the end of the day. Now, the film, which was directed by Howard Hawks, has been reworked as a play. It's now on at the Melbourne Theatre Company, and I was there on opening night. The very elegant, very funny Pamela Rabe plays Hildy. Hello, Pamela.
Good morning, Michael.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The director is Aidan Fennessy. Hi, Aidan.
Morning, Michael.
Nice to have you here. And you're on the panel that devised this year's program for the Melbourne Theatre Company. What's the thinking behind this choice?
Well, Pam was on that panel as well.
Oh, well, you can both speak.
Look, it's so long ago now. But what we did want to do was trying to do what we termed a company play, do a big, sprawling, large cast play that hopefully would go out and meet an audience and just be fun. You might notice in this year's program, there's a terrific variety of plays on offer. We certainly felt that His Girl Friday was the tonic to some of the harder, more difficult works in there. And
so it's a crowd pleaser.
It definitely is, yeah.
And it's got an enormous cast.
It's the biggest cast MTC's ever done outside of a musical.
Is that right? Mm. I didn't realise that. But it's interesting, too, that it was also wanting to... I mean, Robin, Nevin and Aidan and I were the guest programmers for the 2012 season. And I think we all shared a kind of a love of that particular genre of comedy as well, the kind of golden age of American stage comedy writing. So we were bouncing around a lot of different ideas for shows, amongst other things. And just as that list shook down at the end, His Girl Friday kind of rose to the top.
Well, let's talk a bit about the comedy style. I suppose we should just explain a bit more what it's about. So the setting, Pamela, is Chicago. It's actually the 31st of August, 1939, the day before Hitler invades Poland. So they don't know that's going to happen, the people on stage, but we in the audience do.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's a little bit of social satire going on. Well, they're journalists, and they do kind of know, but it's way down the list on
priorities.
That's something that John Gray also, I think, has kind of tweaked up a bit in this version. He went back to the original Ben Hecht, Charles MacArthur play, The Front Page, which was written in the late 20s, and kind of conflated that with the screenplay from the Howard Hawks film.
So there was
and
a
added
play.
His own, yeah.
Once there was a play.
Once there
and
was
then
a play.
The play was turned into the famous film.
Yeah, and the gender was changed. Hildy Johnson in the original play, there were two men.
Was a bloke, yeah.
Yeah.
So this gets turned into a kind of marriage farce.
Yeah.
And then along comes another playwright who says, I'm going to take a bit of the play and a bit of the film and turn it into a new play again.
Yeah, and tweak a few little elements that give it a bit of a 20th century kind of, or help it resonate in 21st century kind
of. Well, let's just get a sense of the pace of the film, because the pace of the film is a bit like the pace of the play. Here's Cary Grant and Hildy at the very start of the film. So this is where Walter Burns, that's Cary Grant, is trying to persuade his ex-wife Hildy to stay on the paper. He more or less stages a scene in which it seems he has absolutely no one who can cover the big story, which is the imminent hanging of an innocent man named Earl Williams. Surely Hildy will stay and do this one last story.
He's supposed to be covering the Earl Williams case, and where is he? Walking up and down in a hospital. Is there no sense of honour in this country?
Well, haven't you got anybody else?
No, there's nobody else on the paper that can write. This will break me unless... Hildy.
No.
Hildy, you've got to help me out.
Chance.
The justice
well, don't
wants
bother me. Will you get going?
Get out of here, Duffy. I'm busy.
No, look,
honey.
Please, save
look,
your breath.
This will bring us back together again, just the way we used to be.
That's what I'm afraid of. Any time, any place, anywhere.
No, don't mock me. This is bigger than anything ever happened to us. Don't do it for me. Do it for the paper.
Scram, Svengali.
If you won't do it for love, how about money?
Yes, how about money? So, in the play, the name of the guy who's going to be hanged has changed. He's Earl Hollub.
Or Hollub.
Hollub. Hollub. So we better call him Earl Hollub. So he's been vilified in the press as a red, as a foreigner, as a cop killer. And he has actually killed a cop, but he has a defence. It's self-defence, but they're going to string him up.
Mm. I think the interesting thing to note about where this version of His Girl Friday came from, I think in the early 2000s, just after the invasion of Iraq, Nick Heidner at the National Theatre in London commissioned John Guare to produce this redux from the original play and the film. I believe at the time he was also producing a very serious work about the invasion in Iraq and the media's role within it, and he wanted to have a companion piece which was a comedic version of the same sort of things going on. So peppered throughout this play is just, references to how the media, there's some terrific comedic rundowns about how the media bite their own tails and invent their own stories.
But are you saying we're invited to see this film as a sort of allegory for the way the press work now, or at least we're working in relation to the Iraq War, are you?
That was the intention, I think, behind at least Nick Heidner's plan to commission it. And it's sort of, you know, it's there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely pans as the media kind of spinning things in order to sell product.
Well, the press don't emerge very well from this. I mean, they basically, all of the action in the play actually occurs in the press room at the jail. So just out the window is the gallows are being built where they're going to hang this guy who has a clear defence. But they don't care about that. All they care about is the story. And so there's an incredible sense of corruption and cynicism in the press room among these hard-bitten guys who are just writing the kind of story that their paper demands. Yeah. Everyone's writing a different kind of story for a different kind of market.
Mm. All of that's... sitting there very strongly in the front page, the 1928 play by Ben Heck and Charles MacArthur, who both were cadet reporters in Chicago in the 20s, and they were writing from their own experience. I mean, none of that's manufactured or anything, but I think certainly John Guare has built on that to give it a particular 21st century resonance, I think.
This is Books and Arts Daily on RN with Michael Cathcart, and we're talking about His Girl Friday, which is a play that's on at the Melbourne Theatre Company, and with me are Pamela Rabe, who stars in the female lead. She's Hildy, and the director of the show is Aidan Finnessy. What's really startling about the play, too, in comparison with the film, is that it's much more explicit about the Nazi sympathies within the American establishment before Pearl Harbor, this is. So we should remember that the war is about to break out. The Americans don't want to go into the war. They've got a kind of sympathy, isolationism policy. And one of the crimes that Earl, this poor chap that's going to be strung up, has committed is that he is an anti-Nazi and therefore is guilty in some way of trying to draw America into a foreign war. So it is quite sobering to hear Americans in holding high office, as well as newspaper men, who are basically saying, well, Hitler's not such a bad guy. We don't get involved in this.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those, factoids that's sort of been buried by history. America was very standoffish at the start of World War II, as they were at the start of World War I as well. And, there's a lovely Bruce Baldwin, the sort of fiancé of Hildy, has this lovely rundown where he sort of talks about how his firm, his insurance firm that he works for, are more than happy to trade with anyone. And, why shouldn't America stay out of it and let Britain might lose, and then we can trade to everyone. So it's one of those revisionist kind of ways that America's lack of America's stance before World War II.
Yeah. Well, in the 20s and 30s, Hitler and Mussolini did seem attractive to people of a more conservative bent because, well, they didn't know what the social cost was going to be, or they were blind to what Hitler was saying, I guess. But it's not as clear-cut. It wasn't as clear-cut then as the moral calculus is now. Look, let's talk about, I guess, the central problem of the play, or the central challenge of the play. You've got this screwball acting, basically. People running. And look, it's a bit like, the Three Stooges, but at the centre of it, there's a really serious issue going on because this guy's going to be hanged and he's innocent and you've got this these corrupt officials. And in fact, the twist is that the governor has decided to, reprieve him. Mm. And they try to suppress the reprieve because they want a hanging. So it's really, really insidious. Mm. And then his girlfriend, to try to save him, jumps out the window to her death. Mm. But all the time there's this kind of knucklehead acting going on. People just keep the action moving.
It's brutal. I mean, it's Marx Brothers, you know. But I think that's part of the thrill of it in performing it, is that, I mean, and even these fairly, as you say, cynical, easily corruptible journalists, and at the heart of them are Walter Burns and Hilly Johnson, who represent a kind of the noble seam that one hopes sits somewhere in the world of the media. They actually want to uncover the corruption. Mm. You know, in fact, Walter, in order to get Hildy to stay, kind of appeals to her sense of justice and honor and the noble task that faces them as journalists. But the two of them resort to some of the most violent, brutal, inhumane activity in order to get the story in the end too. Mm. And hopefully it's hilarious. But I think what I love about this particular version too is John Ware does help us kind of with the privilege of hindsight, as you say, kind of being able to look now from this point back on this material. And hopefully you're being, buffeted between hilarity and as you say, these sobering themes.
This script has a kind of moral center to it. So I don't know quite where it's coming from. I can't put my finger on it. But you do understand that there are moral issues at stake here, or that the production understands that. Whereas the movie just keeps powering along with the screwball knucklehead kind of acting.
Yeah. Not the front page, I have to say, or the movie of the front page. I think the front page is much more hard-hitting with its social satire. The movie, just by definition, has moved into kind of rom-com territory.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I found it quite chilling because I wasn't so sure about that. I thought the film of His Girl Friday was very, very hard-headed because no one ever shows a moral conscience. Everybody just goes on gagging and, you know, knocking each other over and grabbing a telephone and a lot of telephone acting in this show, isn't there?
Oh, there's ridiculous amount of telephones in this production. And it sucked up about 90% of our rehearsal time.
Yeah. I bet it did work out which phone to grab.
Yeah.
So you've obviously analysed the style of acting as the director, Aidan. What were the kind of elements of the performance style that's clearly in the film and that you've reproduced on stage? What were the elements that you were trying to get?
Speed. Mainly speed. I mean, that was one of the things that Howard Hawks did with the film. I think there were two great inventions that he brought to the reworking of the front page. One was the reinvention of it as a rom-com smash-up romantic comedy up against quite a hard-hitting media kind of satire. That was one invention. The other one was actually just a technical invention which reworked how film went about the business of recording sound because he wanted to achieve lightning-fast dialogue, the kind of dialogue that he would hear in his offices at Columbia, was it? Mm. But to do that, they had to go back to the drawing board. And
getting people to talk over each other like I just did then.
Talking over each other, but also they had a swing boom. That was the normal kind of way. They had these massive microphones on these booms, and they'd swing them from actor to actor to actor. He went back and placed a whole series of plate mics and gunshot mics in order to pick up multiple voices all at once. And again, that's become the standard for filmmaking. But that technology was invented for His Girl Friday.
Yes. I mean, if you're making a simple film, in fact, you don't want the actors talking over each other because it makes it harder to edit.
Mm.
You know, every time someone talks over someone else, that's a bit you've got to use rather than not edit.
In terms of the acting style, I mean, I kept going back in rehearsal anyway to that sort of, I suppose that's a New York Yiddish style, Ben Hecht was from New York originally and did serve time in Chicago. But I think in Australia, or at least I'm in my mid-40s, I was weaned on a whole range of American movies and things like McHale's Navy as well, which also have the same sort of fast-paced dialogue with funny lines that no one ever stops to think that anyone's going to laugh at. You just, there's no time for subtext. There's no time to have a thought before a line. You just have to bang it in and give the intention on the line. Rather than
the comedy is also based on the premise that a lot of the people who have to deal with are thick. Isn't it? I mean, in McHale's Navy, there are plenty of thick people, and in this show there are thick people. I mean, the guy who delivers the reprieve is a very simple soul. He's just a good-natured guy. But he's, you know, slow-talking kind of guy. Doesn't quite
and
know
they run circles around him. Yeah.
They do, yeah.
It was great. It was an extraordinary challenge, but because, and I think it's incredibly well-written. So we were very aware as performers in it when we were rehearsing it that we had a music that we had to obey and that we were all... had the responsibility of kind of different instruments within the orchestra to make up this, and it's symphonic, you know, and you knew when you were falling off the train.
Well, you must be exhausted when the thing's over because it never stops. Thank you for both coming in.
No worries.
Been good to talk to you.
Pleasure.
They don't look exhausted. They look quite fresh. Pamela Raabes co-stars with Philip Quast in His Girl Friday. Aidan Fennessy directed the show. He's an associate director at the Melbourne Theatre Company. It's called His Girl Friday. It's adapted by John Goyer and it's at the Playhouse in Melbourne. And that concludes proceedings for today. We're here every weekday at 10 o'clock. And of course, you can catch us online whenever you want. And tomorrow, the Dutch writer Herman Koch is on the show. His new novel, The Dinner, has been compared to The Slap, and it's every bit as controversial.